You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play. Plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Wednesday, April 29, 2026. Thank you for downloading. And yes, thank you, Mr. AI, non-existent, non-human announcer, for that rousing introduction. An introduction that not everybody is a fan of. A good friend and one of the brave and intrepid members of my ZABE North Scotland, North of the Wall trip last summer, Manus Cooney, writes to say the following. ZABE, your podcast this week have been exceptionally entertaining. Thank you. Yesterday with Charge was a very pleasant listen. This was, by the way, last week. Then he warns in parentheses, beware now of some unsolicited compliments because here it comes. But as a friend and a loyal ZABEcast listener, I must speak up. I make a motion that you get rid of that AI introduction. It or he or whatever it is lacks the emotion, the punch, the enthusiasm. And since you seem to believe that doing your own intro is awkward, I get it, might you consider the following as a alternative? Ask your loyal ZABEcast listeners to send you their own recordings of the intro. You could play some on the cast itself. Maybe some of the terrible ones, maybe some of the good ones. Then select two or three, and then let the listeners vote online for the best intro. Problem solved, and as a bonus, you've engaged your loyal audience. That's an idea. That's an idea that, well, create more work for me, but that's all right. It could work. Here's how I would envision it. Take the current intro the way it's worded, mold your own intro, so use different language or things that you know about me. Keep it to the same basic, brief, 15-second, let's get on with it parameters. And then I guess you can voice it if you have a decent microphone or if you just want to voice it into your phone or I don't know, and then send it to me. And I'll start inserting them as the intro to this podcast. And we'll just see where it goes. All right? So the challenge has been made. The gauntlet has been thrown down. Let's see how creative people can be. Before we get to today's main attraction, which is my road game this week with Scott and Solly on their podcast, the Lynn Murray Solly podcast, I'm going to give you that today, or at least a chunk of it. For the full episode, make sure to go and support them on their Patreon page for my weekly road game at their podcast. But I'll play a chunk of it today because it was good. We talked about some of the Easter eggs in the NFL draft and played some of the audio, like Sean McVay's call with Ty Simpson, who was clearly thrilled in the greatest moment of his life, and Sean McVay was not having it. Not thrilled in the least. But before we get to that, not a good day if you believe in sports being about the higher principles and the better values of life and to having standards and accountability and everything else. Headline, Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby to enter gambling addiction program. Brendan Sorsby, one of college football's top returning players, has checked into a residential treatment program for gambling addiction, the school announced on Monday. Addiction rehab? I mean, wow, this sounds serious. How much did he bet? Oh, I don't know, thousands of wagers when he was a redshirt quarterback at Indiana? This is a true freshman in 2022. He made a ton of bets, thousands, including some bets on Indiana football games. But don't worry, some will say, he bet on Indiana each time. Of course, you and I know, because we're not idiots, that betting on your team is just as bad as betting against your team. Because it implies that when you don't bet on your team, you know or think they're going to lose, or you're not going to give full effort. Now, he was not playing that season, so I guess it's a little less egregious. But he knew damn well you couldn't do this. And so therefore now his eligibility going forward for Texas Tech, a team that was the fourth seed this past year in the college football playoff, is very much in doubt. There's no timetable for Sorsby's treatment, as sources say his situation is being treated as a mental health matter.
Oh, yes.
A mental health matter. You know, is they going to put him in bubble wrap because of this? You can't ask questions. You can't, don't condemn him. This is a mental health issue. It is true that young men are gambling at a rate and with a zeal that is completely unhealthy. Many people have begun to really ring the bell loudly on this issue, including Dave Ramsey. Warren Buffett, in a recent interview, said that legalized gambling, whether it's on sports or the lottery, is the greatest regressive tax on the stupid and the poor that could ever be designed. Notably, that these state lotteries, they know the data on who buys the tickets. It's the poor and those who can't do math to understand you basically have no shot of winning. Well, but somebody does. Yeah, but you won't, just so you know that. And that not only is this money just easily raised out of thin air as essentially a tax on the stupid, but it's also then taxed again by the states when they regulate sort of, you know, sports books and online betting apps. And I know what you're saying right now. Mybookie.com, promo code Zabe. Look, this is the world we live in. I believe that responsible adults should be able to wager responsibly from the convenience of their own digital devices. It doesn't mean, though, that the overall infusion and the full-on warm embrace of gambling by professional sports leagues and by colleges, the very same entities that used to look at gambling as the devil, as poison, and fought any association, much less inclusion, with tooth and nail. That's where the problem really lies. If I could make it all better and make it go away, if I were to gently tell my bookie, you know, it's been a good partnership, but we're going to go our separate ways. If I could do that, if I had the power to do that, I would. But I wanted to address that right out of the top. But this is not good. This is not good. A quarterback who's gambling as a redshirt freshman, even though it's on his team, even though he's not playing, leads anyone with a brain to realize, well, shit. How many more people are gambling out there? How many more athletes are gambling? They keep catching them. How many don't they catch? How many fishy things are happening that we don't even have any clue on? And then you turn to the NBA. Damon Jones, the first guy to flip in the Fed's case against Damon Jones, as well as Terry Rozier, on a gambling sweep that involved illegal card games. This big win for the prosecution. They get the first guy to sing, the first guy to flip, the first guy to take a deal. Apparently, Rozier's attorneys are asking for the original set of charges to be dismissed, but the feds have said, yeah, well, we got a whole new set of charges that are even better than the old set of charges. So, yeah. It's all part of, really, as I step back today and I thought about this, it is really part of the current sports hellscape we're living in. Gambling has wreaked havoc all over the place. They just announced the NCAA tournament is expanding when nobody asked for it to 76 teams. Great. You got quarterbacks at playoff teams who are checking into gambling rehab centers. NIL and the portal are running wild. Even mediocre players, their starting price is $500,000 a year. Schools are cutting programs like tennis. How expensive can tennis be? It's some scholarships. It's a training staff. Some fuzzy balls, and a court that's already been long built. And yet Arkansas, gone. St. Louis, tennis, gone. And they're just the first of other programs that will be thrown overboard or thrown into the mouth of the voracious name, image, likeness monster. The games that we like to watch, that we want to watch in the current sports hellscape are scattered all over the place. On all these streaming devices. And the price of streaming keeps going up and up and up. And the streamers are losing money. Peacock, the subsidiary of NBC, has lost $11 billion since it opened in 2020. But don't worry, the CEO says they're approaching profitability. Okay. TikTok has killed blogs, podcasts have killed radio, YouTube has killed TV, local newspapers, sports sections going under. It's a hellscape. And if that wasn't bad enough, clowns and influencers are all over the place instead of actual journalists and professional announcers. Instant replay keeps on growing and growing and expanding. Hey, what about Robo on 3000? You like that? Okay, I grant you, I'm a little bit of a hypocrite in that regard. Ticket prices are insane. Concession prices are insane. Big events like the World Cup are currently making all of corporate America and state and local governments bow and kiss their feet. State of New Jersey charging $100 each way for a train ride to the Meadowlands because that's what they had to do to satisfy FIFA. Stadiums covering up their own corporate logos. I saw a video of a giant tarp being put over the Mercedes-Benz logo in Atlanta. The fuck? I thought corporate America was the one last place that would not bend the knee. But FIFA, that absolute corrupt mafia organization of big-time soccer, well, looks like they're the ones that can make corporate America actually take a knee. The NFL is farming out more and more games overseas, and they're not done yet. Women's sports are being overcovered and overserved to us relative to their interest. Not trying to deny them a seat at the table or a place in the ecosystem, but enough already, for God's sakes. Look at the numbers. Nobody cares. Women announcers are being inserted all over the place on broadcasts where they were never asked for and add nothing. I'm a firm believer that every color analyst in men's professional sports on television should have played or coached the game that they are announcing. Period. Full stop. But then they wouldn't have a... How are we going to get a woman? Don't need them. Don't need them. Don't want them. Didn't ask for them. With all the women's sports going on, let them do those. Especially on color announcers. There are more color announcers that are women in the NHL than probably any other sport. And it's like, why? We got referees who are women. What? Why? Did we need that? Was there a shortage of male referees? Do you know how many men are refereeing at the lower levels who have put in so many hours and have so much experience? There's no way that the women who have been pushed up to the top in, you know, these pro leagues have as much hours of doing their sport as 1,000 men who've been grinding away. There's no way. But there they are. All of that, as if that hellscape wasn't enough, and Stephen A. Smith remains the highest paid sports media personality in the world, and his act is so stupid that you watch him and you think, I am losing intelligence just listening to what it is he's saying. Oh yeah, and Roger Goodell, that stooge, born on third base, remains the commissioner of the most powerful league in America, the NFL, and makes an obscene $40 million or more per year. Yay, sports. And yet, here I am. Here I am, even though it's a hellscape, we never knew we had it so good, did we? I will still watch sports because there is so much good in sports and there's so much excitement and wow factor and stuff that's still good. But damn it, it's hard sometimes not to just go, what are we doing right here exactly? Don't know if you're aware of this, but now you are. There's more Diana Rossini, Mike Vrabel news. Hey, man, I don't make the news. I just report it. Diana Rossini made a playlist with Mike Vrabel, shared it with Mike Vrabel, and then Vrabel tried to cover it up today when somebody found out about it. I kid you not. A timeline of Diana Rossini's Spotify had a playlist called Turning the Page that she shared with a user named Mike on December 19th of 2022. It just so happens to coincide with a four-game Titans losing streak. The songs in the playlist that includes things like Photograph by Def Leppard, Dance the Night Away by Van Halen, Renegade by Styx, and others are the very same songs that Titans beat reporters reported having heard at practice that week that matches up with the playlist. And then to make it even more comical, after this was put out on Twitter, this guy Mike changed his playlist on Spotify to read Tycar, T-Y-C-A-R. Well, Vrabel and his wife Jennifer have two sons, Tyler and Carter. I mean, come on. It just gets more comical all the time. Somebody caught Vrabel in the airport, decided to track him down on the moving sidewalk and ask a few questions. This is awkward.
Vrabel, how are you, sir?
Hey, good, man. How are you?
Good, good. How are you holding up? How are you holding up, man? Look, listen, there's just a lot of talk that, you know, that there's just a little bit of a double standard here. And I just wanted your take on that. Are you doing all right?
Yeah, no, kind of, thank you. I appreciate you.
Kind of you're powering through?
He's walking faster.
Hoping to work it out, Mr. Vrabel? Look, I'm just gotta say there's some talk that maybe you should step down. It's a distraction to the Patriots. I wanted your opinion on that, sir. What does accountability look like for you?
He's now in the parking garage following him.
When, sir, head coach of the Patriots, big distraction here.
Just not answering. Look, this is too much, but this is unfortunately something that I don't think is necessarily over. Polymarket Football tweets, the Patriots have reportedly been preparing for the possibility of Vrabel resigning per the Daily Mail. Mike Tomlin is rumored to be a potential candidate. I don't think it'll get to that, but you never totally know. It's just crazy. And again, I don't support harassing the coach in an airport, but it does point to the fact that this is not going to go away as easily as maybe he thinks, because it's like they find out more and more all the time. And so we'll see. Could just be the slow spring months well before the football season. But I would just say that it's not insane to think that maybe he doesn't coach this year. We shall see. tipping culture is out of hand, right? Well, you have no idea. In Vegas, a couple from Iowa, older couple, won a $10 million jackpot on a slot machine. Those require what they call in Vegas a hand pay, meaning a slot machine attendant helps take the winner to document, get the ticket, take it to the back office, figure out how they're going to get paid the money. Da, 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 da. The older couple not only tipped $0 on a $10 million jackpot, they didn't even tip the $4 left on the machine, according to Vital Vegas. Many people had many thoughts about this, such as, so wait a minute, I want a jackpot on a machine and I've got to tip a human? How much exactly? This is kind of considered etiquette in Vegas, or a way to keep your karma shiny. And I sort of get it, but I also am firmly on the side of, hey, these slot machines in Vegas have been getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and the negative EV or expected value on these things has been shit for the better for a long time, for the average bettor for a long time. So yeah, no. If I want a blackjack hand or something involving a human directly interacting with me on the game, then the argument for a tip would be a whole lot stronger. So I started thinking, okay, what would I tip if I won $10 million? Well, 10 grand would be a hell of a pop for the one lucky slots attendant who was there when I won. But that's 10 grand. Like, 10 grand for doing what exactly? How? Well, Las Vegas locally responded to Vital Vegas when asked the question about, you know, Vital Vegas closed their tweet by saying, do better, humans. Okay. Las Vegas locally said, if you hit a $10 million slot jackpot in Vegas, you should tip the people who provided good service and made the trip fun. Cocktail servers, hotel staff, slot attendants, floor staff, and dealers if you played the tables. Holy shit, tip everybody? And who says they made the trip fun? Maybe the cocktail servers were slow, or the hotel staff was rude, or the room was dirty. Okay, so I got to tip all these people, $10 million? What do you want me to tip, Las Vegas locally? They tweet anything between $30,000 and $300,000 spread around is fine in my book. What? Shit. Absolutely, positively, no way in hell. $300,000. Speaking of hitting the lottery or hitting a jackpot, Lisa Kudrow definitely hit the jackpot by being on the hit show Friends. Sure, she had some other movies and some other TV ventures after she was a breakout star on the show, but she was not a particularly good actress and was not really, she was the third wheel of the three women on the show. And yet she made a ton of money. Lisa Kudrow earned $540,000 for her first season of Friends. She made $24 million for the last season. And she became culturally loved and adored for her quirky character's persona, not who she is in real life. The quirkiness of Smelly Cat and Lisa Kudrow's character is one thing. Well, you would hope that she would think back and talk in interviews since about the show that made her a star and made her a multi-millionaire, she would only say positive things about the show. Oh, that's right. She's a woman. And she said that the Friends writers were, quote, mostly men who reprimanded the cast for forgetting their lines and stayed up late discussing their sexual fantasies about her female co-stars. She said, don't forget, we were recording in front of a live audience of 400. And if you messed up one of these writers' lines or didn't get it or didn't get the perfect response, they'd be like, can't the bitch fucking read? She's not even trying. She fucked up my line. Okay, that might have happened. People are not always at their best. Also, Lisa, I'm going to bet you fucked up some lines along the way. I'm going to bet that maybe you weren't the most perfect person either. But how about this? You hit the Hollywood lottery. You were a zilch that got put on a great show and the show blew up. Just be happy about it. Just say nice things. You don't need to be like, they're all men. Yeah, well, maybe that's why the show was funny. Not sure how much a show written by all women would have done, but still. Somebody let me know the next time Lisa Kudrow does a new project in which people go, oh my God, you got to see this Lisa Kudrow show. You got to watch this movie with Lisa Kudrow in it. She's so damn good. Quick break when we come back. My visit, my road visit with Scott and Solly on their podcast. You are listening to the Zabecast. Let's talk casino for a second. MyBookie.ag has a full Las Vegas-style casino right on your phone. Blackjack, roulette, craps, slots, video poker, all of it. No flight, no parking, no guy next to you who hasn't showered since Thursday. And they have live dealer games. Real humans on camera dealing cards and spinning wheels in real time. You can watch the shuffle. It's not some random number generator. It's an actual person running an actual table, and you're sitting at it from your couch. New players get $25 in casino credit automatically with promo code ZABE, just for making a deposit. Free money to try it on them. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state.
Coming off the weekend, ZABE, the NFL draft, we got a text from our friend Jeff that I brought up Monday. The NFL has just made this such a first, and you were there live last year, by the way, when it was in Green Bay.
Sucker.
Yeah. Watching it on TV, it is so effing hokey. It's got moments.
But we go to the Mariette Bonvoy pick. Mariette Bonvoy. How many times can I say Mariette Bonvoy?
We have major corporations sponsoring this.
Mariette Bonvoy.
Talk about him, who shall read everything that's on the prompter or his notes about David Boston and Denzel Boston.
Did he call him David Boston?
I was going to send you the audio, but I was like, I know Zabe and I watched it. I heard it. Zabe, you have seen it by now.
No, I only know vaguely of it. Greenberg apparently apologized because he said that Denzel Boston is the son of former NFL wide receiver David Boston, formerly the Arizona Cardinals, formerly a guy who had to miss practice because he got nipples pierced one game.
His last name is Boston. He's a receiver. It's understandable, right, that you would confuse them, their names.
It's understandable, but, like, you're supposed to have all the facts at your disposal. Did Greenberg just riff and just shoot from the hip like he must be his son?
He basically said, the quote is, you remember his dad, David Boston, first-round pick out of Ohio State in 1999?
It's not his dad.
And they're not, and then 2 hours later, he acknowledged his gaffe and apologized, said he was waiting for the Browns to draft again to make the apology, but then they traded the 74th to the New York Giants.
Did he ask Denzel Boston if he had his nipples pierced? Did he make that mistake? No.
He said, it was a mistake in my research. It's a terrible one, and I apologize to them both. They are not related to each other, so I apologize to both David and Denzel Boston, and congrats to Denzel. What sort of mistake? Like, you invented a fact. That's not a mistake in research.
Look, I'm a little bit sympathetic to this because I made a huge whopper yesterday on the air on WKFK. I was talking about, hey, next year, Washington's on the clock. We're hosting this shindig. By the way, can I count on you, Solly, to bring the egg salad to the mall?
You couldn't pay me to attend a draft in person.
No. It's a potluck. There's going to be little folding tables.
I always bring dessert because I can't cook.
The reflecting pool with
newly repainted.
The eye can see.
It's a sucker. Well, the Commanders signed Fred Davis II as an undrafted free agent. I'm like, he must be Fred Davis's son, right? I'm like, well, they're only like 18 years apart. So either he had him very young or they're not related. It's a different Fred Davis, a fairly common name.
So technically, you are right.
Second.
It's not his son. It's his sister.
But they really did sign a Fred Davis the second.
Yes, he's a cornerback.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a corner. Okay, he's not a tight end.
No, I'm not sure what he is. But, he's one of the 800
defensive back,
undrafted free agents who were signed yesterday. Unlikely to make the team, but he'll be in the rookie minute. I made a mistake yesterday. And so we had our Montgomery County Sports Hall of Fame yesterday. And there's hundreds of people. And sometimes you see people you haven't seen in a long time.
Got in.
You probably wouldn't know who any of them are. John Bunting. Do you remember John Bunting? Played for the Eagles for many years. Coached the Tar Heels for many years. North Carolina.
The colorful semicircle of red, white, and blue that goes.
No, that's a different Bunting.
Different Bunting.
That's political Bunting.
And he did play baseball, but he's like, I can't even bunt, so I should try something else. I should try football. My name is not Bunting. But Willie Allen we got put in. He was a basketball player, locally famous. And then three people you certainly have never heard of. A runner, a referee, and
your mistake was?
Well, I saw. Remember our old sales guy, John Myers? Do you remember John Myers?
Yes. Yeah. Pinky Myers.
And,
yes.
And he was there because his wife was friends with one of the Hall of Famers. And I haven't seen John in 20 years because he stopped doing sales. I'm like, John Rhodes. Oh, my God. John Rhodes. I called him John Rhodes because that was your buddy who's our other sales guy. I'm like, John, oh, my God, it's been like 20 years. He's like, it's John Meyer. I'm like, oh, I did know that. John Rhodes was another guy who was
sold. Myers was with the Nationals, too. Like
he was with the Nats for years. He's still selling. He sells movie theater preview ads. I'm like, it's a great business. I work from home.
You can sell.
He's probably made $8 million selling ads for his career. So he's doing great. But I was like, I know your name's John Myers because – I know it's not John Rhodes, but I called him John Rhodes right to his face and his wife's face. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
So, that was your mistake.
So I saw randomly for 20 years ago. Yeah.
My mistake was I said on air, I said, you know, next year we're hosting, so get ready for the big party. I'm excited, even though I think it's a dumb thing to go to. But if you're going to go to this NFL Woodstock, as Andy calls it, and stand around, just know that you're not going to see or hear much. But I said, if you really want me to be a negative, because somebody accused me of being a negative Nelly by saying, A, going to it is the most overrated thing ever.
Right.
You can't see, you can't.
By the way, you're allowed to say that because you've had the experience. That's true. I can
say that directly.
You lived it. Right.
Yeah. I'm sure someone who went to Woodstock was like, couldn't hear a thing, couldn't see a thing. Just luckily we had all the weed and sex, right? I think that's probably.
I was drugged and people peed on me. It was money.
I was stoned as fuck. And I had sex, free sex with multiple people. It was muddy though. Damn.
Yeah. Lots of mud.
So I said, somebody accused me of being a Debbie Downer because also not only is it overrated, you can't see nor hear anything, but the local businesses, just like it happened in Green Bay, now it's happened in Pittsburgh, the local businesses are crying foul saying, hey, you told us to stock up for 2X, 3X, 4X business. We were down 30%. The draft actually crushes local businesses. Because they don't get the normal traffic they do. It's one of these counterintuitive things where you would think, how could you not do more business with all these people coming in? It's because it's not necessarily what it's cracked up to be. This happened. The people, the shop owners in Green Bay, they're like, yeah, you brought a lot of people. You also put a 10-foot security fence right in front of my driveway, and nobody could get to my falafel. So thanks for nothing.
Well, that's like the Purple Line construction has ruined businesses in the D.C. area. They had to, at least Dar County, establish like a fund to compensate these businesses for losing so they don't go out of business because that's the last thing you want. 180 businesses have gone out of business because of 8 years of construction here. So who do people fly in from these other cities? Who are these fans who are standing there? Did the teams bring them in?
Mostly locals. It attracts crisis actors.
It doesn't look like real people who are.
All of Wisconsin showed up for this event because it was free.
Well,
Wisconsinites love free, and any chance to drink, Scott, they take advantage of it.
Right.
Porta potties, were there lots of porta potties? How do people pee or poop at these events? That's a road win right there. Oh, I had to go at the draft right there. That's a road win for you.
Anyway, winding my way towards my big fuck up. So somebody accused me of being a Debbie Downer by pointing out realities of, hey, it's overrated, can't see or hear shit, and the local businesses get crushed. I said, okay, well, you're accusing me of being a Debbie Downer. I'm really not. It's going to be a cool event. It'll look great in front of the steps of the U.S. Capitol building, which is where they're planning it. If you go, have a good time, but whatever. I said, if you really want a Debbie Downer, I just looked this up. The Commanders next year also don't have a second and a fourth round pick, just like this year, because this year was a little bit like, yay, we took a first round pick in some styles, and then I'm kind of still hungry.
Right.
Those, the 2 and 4 missing left a big hole in your stomach of fulfillment. And the reason I said they don't have a second and fourth next year is because AI and the internet told me so. I made sure to go look it up. I typed it in Commanders 2027 draft picks, and AI Gemini, which is Google's shit product, said specifically, and I looked at it and it said, here are their draft picks for 2027. I went to another site, NFLDraftBuzz.com, which obviously pulls from the same flawed algorithm, and it said the same thing. So I thought I had good intel to go for it. I go on air with it. Thankfully, JP Finley, who covers the team closely, texted me directly saying, I'm pretty sure they've got all their picks next year. I then went to SpotTrack, which is the definitive source, right, for all this information.
Always.
And sure enough, next year they've got all 7 picks.
Okay.
So that was my screw up, and I fucking felt terrible.
Jet bus.
I should know that, but I tried to research it. Now, how did Greenberg get to Denzel Boston and David Boston? I don't know. Maybe
Austin?
He was
Austin
connecting. Maybe he was Lorenzo Styles' thing.
He is. Lorenzo, he is his Styles, son, right?
Right. Yeah. That is father son, and Lorenzo Styles won a Super Bowl with Kurt Warner, which makes me feel fucking old.
Yeah, it does. It does. The it's just a weird way to phrase it, but honestly, and again, we've all made mistakes. This is not about that. But
I once killed people's moms on there.
Work done.
Yeah. Or
resurrected. Unkilled. Resurrected. Yeah. Work, yeah, your mother must be very proud. Oh, she's dead, sir. Ah,
she's dead. Sorry. She was a cop. She got killed in the line of duty. That's why I'm doing this whole charity. Do you not do any research on this?
Not very much. I just read what's in front of me. Honestly, like Ron Burton.
No, there have been very memorable interview gaps through the years.
Yeah, we've all made tons of mistakes.
But the greeny thing, the way, oh, it's a mistake in my research.
This is the first mistake I've made since August 4th, 1996, when I mistakenly I did this, right?
You know what a mistake in your research is? Writing down 2009 and you meant to write 2006. You invented a new wing to the Boston family story. Like, where the F did that come from?
I like how angry you are at his non-apology.
Yes.
Sidestepping.
What is he? Is he Jussie Smollettberg now? He's just making
Seriously.
Stuff up.
Yeah.
No, he's Jussie Kiss Asperg is what he is. He is the most kiss ass. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's why he's had a long career.
Well, for 7 figures, we'll all do it, Zabe.
I want to believe he's made close to $100 million.
$100 million. That's a lot.
I believe
Greeny?
I believe he's made an average of $3 million a year, average.
Well, that's only in the last few years with TV.
For 20 years. All right, $50 million.
50, he's probably made close
to 50. Easily $50 million.
Before taxes and all his spending, so he's not the tax.
You're the before taxes guy.
Pains me. There is good in the draft, but there is so much forced. I love the Mark Ingram shit-talking. When he held up the kid and goes, Pittsburgh still sucks. That's kind of funny to me. The Australian female Ravens fan who said, I'm going to make this quick, kind of like your last playoff run.
Hey-o.
That That's snarky and funny. The touching moments, like the rousing applause, and I'm going to botch his name, so I'm just going to say Navy running back Eli
Heidenreich.
Sally, he got drafted. The Steelers, I believe, took him. He was in tears. The fans were going crazy. It was an awesome moment.
Okay. May I counter that sentiment with another angle on that?
Yes.
Did you see Mark Rippon announcing the Commanders?
I did not.
I did.
I'm sorry. I must have missed that of the 80 hours.
If you have 2 minutes and 30 seconds to kill, that's how long it took for Rippon to announce.
I know. It's painful. Like when someone's not doing well, I'm like, ooh. He should probably wrap this up. I mean, they probably spoke to him briefly.
Or is it like Gretzky at the World Cup draw?
For anyone who's ever watched somebody lose the room, and that's the biggest thing about public speaking, losing the room. I've been in countless charity golf tournaments where as soon as I can sense we're losing the room as everyone's eating after a sweaty day of golf, I'm like,
wrap it up.
We got to get these winners announced now. We're losing the room. Rippon was losing the room, and it was triggering. Sally, have you found it? Can you find it? Send it to you if I find the clip. But Mark Rippon announcing the pick. The counter argument, Scott, to it is it's now become a bad version of Star Search for these pick announcements. And this is a huge moment for the players who worked their whole life. They don't need a clown upstaging them, some Bert Kreischer wannabe. Running his material, just read the fucking pick.
No,
I get that angle.
How are you tonight?
It's Mark Rippon.
First and foremost, to an amazing, amazing town, sports town, and fans, Pittsburgh, thank you for being a great host of the 2026 draft. You guys are amazing.
Okay. With the second
introducing our next pick, I want to say this first and foremost. Tomorrow, I get a great opportunity for you, Pittsburgh, to pass the torch to myself and my fellow crew in Washington, D.C. for next year's 2026-27 NFL draft on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Washington, the sports capital.
Nobody gives a shit.
That's the slogan.
I love how Rippon pass it to me.
It's been a minute.
And
got some information earlier today. The girls' flag football became an officially sanctioned high school varsity sport in Maryland. Paving the way, creating more access and opportunity for your female athletes across the region. Thank you, Josh Harris. And the Commander organization for making this possible. It'll also be great for my granddaughters, Malaya, Merrick, and Macy Grace, for their opportunities to come with them. Thank you so much for girls flag football, a high school sanctioned event in Maryland. Thank you so much.
Okay, pause. Can you pause real quick, Sally?
Yeah.
At this point, we're what, a minute and 28 seconds?
The next pick has been taken because it's every 2 minutes in this draft.
There are three other
picks. You got to move this along, right?
Yes.
I mean,
because every other legend came out and just said, "What's up, Pittsburgh? I'm proud to represent the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we picked with a 38th pick, blah, blah, blah." And that was it. Get them off stage.
You can palpably sense the, okay, you have got to say the fucking pick right now. And not take any more of that. Instead, here was Rip again.
And now it is a great honor with the 71st pick in the 2026 NFL draft. Sonny Styles was a character person, a great football player. He's going to be one of the top football players for our years to come. Suck. Dan Quinn and the Washington Commanders. We don't go defense for this pick. We go offense.
No, go on. Here we go.
Antonio Williams, wide receiver, University of Clemson. Thank you, Pittsburgh, and good luck to all the clubs.
And then he breaks out into the Fletch scene. There, hug a cop. Gosh. I said it. Reach out to those men in blue. Remember that scene in Fletch? Solid.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase up there. It's like, oh my God, what is going on? Rip.
Someone was fired. Like, okay, who should we get? Who's available? How about Doc? No, let's get Rip in. Oh, okay, Rip is there. Okay. Oh my gosh.
So, and look, Rip is royalty. He won a Super Bowl. He had one of the most prolific, flawless seasons in Redskins history.
Good
and
golfer.
Love him to death. Good golfer. Not as good as he thinks, but good golfer.
Yeah.
But when he says, hand it off to me and my crew in Washington, you live in Spokane.
He doesn't live here.
Stop fronting, okay?
Right.
Like, you ain't here, bro.
Yes. Canadian by birth, right? Or no? Or Washington kid? I don't remember.
Nephew is Brett, right? The other quarterback who was in the league for a while.
He's got Canada ties. Yeah, Greeny said, of course, Mark Rippon and Brett Rippon were, in fact, related. So that's good.
I think they are. Actually, they're unrelated, despite the same very unusual last name, R-Y-P-I-E-N. Unbelievable.
On the one hand, I don't mind the, hey, what an honor to announce a pick, but it's taken it further and further away from who should have the moment, which is the actual athlete. But a lot of the guys in the second, third, fourth round don't show up.
Well,
in the draft.
They're not allowed. I don't think they're going to be there. They invite, 20 players to the green room or whatever, and that's it?
Well,
you can't just be there, can you?
No, you can actually, because last year, this guy for the Packers, Baron Sorrell, was picked, I think, in the sixth round. I'll look it up. And he actually paid his own way with his family to go there. And he waited around. He told the NFL, look, if I'm called, I want to go up on stage. And so they made sure that he had access to do that.
Okay.
They didn't pay a dime for him. He paid his own way. But he had his moment up on the stage. It was kind of cool.
But he can't walk the line and put his hat on in the mirror and give whatever the high five hug is to 50 people there.
So here we go. Baron Sorrell, fourth round out of Texas. He was a surprise pick in the green room, staying until day three of the draft.
He's just sitting in there. It's just no empty room. It's like that meme of what's his name, the actor on the swing. But he's just sitting there in an empty room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it looks like
be here.
In the first round, they finally had, they were lucky because the all 20 guys who they had were picked that day. Like one guy was like the 31st pick. Like, ooh, we might get a Geno Smith or Brady Quinn or Aaron Rodgers. All these guys who just wait and wait. Shedeur Sanders. All those.
Now, did you see the phone call between Ty Simpson, Solly's guy, Mr. Alabama. And Sean McVay?
I was actually happy about it. All that stuff about me not being happy about the pick because I was very sour up there. It's not true. I love Ty. He's very competitive. Really excited to have him here.
Man, that
you need to see and hear this because it's the most cringy, awkward call ever. See if you can find Solly. Look it up while I vamp here for a second.
Solly, while you're looking at that, Zabe, on Saturday's coverage, McVay was the first guest, and maybe it was a Randy Scott thing on SportsCenter. I don't know. I'm probably botching anchors, but they had McVay on early, and they're like, so you kind of went viral the other night for the Simpson thing, and to my discredit, I was watching it on mute at work. I flipped away from the news, and I'm like, I want to see what McVay says, and he's like, oh, you know, and he says all the right things, but that was a bleep show. That was an absolute bleep show.
So in the call, you know, Simpson's all excited, obviously. It's a big moment for him.
Did he say, when can I meet you? Because I've never met you before.
Also, you know, when they push McVay out for emergency media avails and interviews, it's complete PR triage at
of
this
course. Point. Yes.
So Simpson's all excited. Clearly McVay is pissed because he needs an actual asset to compete for a championship at this time. They got a year or two left, maybe, of Stafford. He knows they're going to take a zero on Ty Simpson on their report card for at least 2 years, probably forever. And they had guys like Reuben Bain Jr. sitting on the board. They take this guy. In part because Les Snead, the GM, is friends with his coach.
Here's the audio of them calling.
Here's the audio. Listen to what Ty Simpson says to McVay about let's make history, and listen to McVay's answer.
Here's first Les Snead.
Hey, it's Les Snead, Los Angeles Rams.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. We're sitting here at the 13th pick, so we're going to draft you with that pick. So I'm going to pass you to your new head coach, Sean McVay.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
What's up, coach?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, man. Well, congratulations, man. Excited to get to work with you. It's going to be a lot of fun, buddy.
Let's go make history, coach.
Yeah, no, and hey, enjoy this night, man. You earned it. Have fun. Tell your family we're excited to meet them, and can't wait to get going with you, buddy.
Yes, sir, coach. Appreciate you.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. He couldn't get off the phone quick enough. And let's make history. What the fuck does that even mean?
We made history with Super Bowl 6 years ago. You were
let's make history. 13. And McVay goes, yeah, just enjoy the night. He let that thing go right back.
Zabe, how many times are you going to call him buddy? It's kind of like when you call your niece or your nephews on their birthday. You having a good day, buddy? What are you doing?
And then Sean McVay said, buddy? Yeah, we went with Sonny Styles for off for defense here, but now we're going to go with the offense out of Clemson. You know, next year, the draft in Washington. Thank you, Pittsburgh. Poor Rip. Poor bastard.
Oh, yeah. My God. And there's a great fake McVay AI presser on this pick.
Somebody sent me, and I should have sent it to you guys, and I apologize. At some point, I will, perhaps shortly. Somebody sent me a McVay impersonator with the spiky hair right in the middle, and the guy does a really good McVay. And it's kind of him just... You know, it's a comedic representation of what went on between Thursday night and the make goods and the make do's and the make ups or whatever.
Can you hear this?
So yeah, fuck them picks, right? Bless your.
Can you hear this? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, fuck them picks, right? Bless your fuck that one. Just couldn't wait. Like a racehorse with blue balls, wasn't he? Trade down, extract more value. Fuck it. Who needs lube? I mean, you watch the tape and you don't see much. You look at the statistics and nothing jumps out at you. Yeah. The decision-making is reminiscent of Geno Smith. Yeah. You know, we're in a win now and you spend big time capital on a dart throw we'll find out about in 3 years. Bane, Lemon, Sadiq. Nah, we want a guy to compete with Stetson. Hey, maybe he'll be good. Not sure I'll stick around to find out. With all due respect to Les and Mr. Kroenke and all we've built here, if you wanted me in the booth, you're about to fuck around and find out. Fuck that pick.
And of course, the video matches up really, really well. And this is the worst AI deepfake pressers will ever have.
I did just send you the Henry Markin McVay impression.
Henry Markin.
Yeah, Solly would have to dig it out, but I texted it to you guys. I don't have, I can't fire it from here. I know people love when we air out videos and whatnot.
Well, I mean, if the audio carries, I think the McVay audio I just played carried just fine.
Thoughts on picking Ty Simpson with the 13th pick? Are you surprised at all by this move?
Nope. This was the plan. Yep, everything you saw was exactly what we discussed. No curveballs whatsoever. None.
Are you sure? It looks like you're pretty mad about this.
What's there to be mad about? After all, we do have an MVP at quarterback with 5 to 6 years left in his prime. Not to mention there were 10 to 15 guys at skill position ready to go instead of a quarterback in the first round, but we got a quarterback instead. Well, this is exactly the plan.
His eyes are great, bugging out.
Oh, yeah. And then hair's great. And the fact is, we have an MVP quarterback in his prime. Matthew Stafford is approaching what?
38?
40. Yeah. He's got 5 or 6 years left. It's fine.
Well, the reach for Kalen Black at running back by the Niners was estimated to be about a 60 spot reach, most consensus boards. And the Niners, being arrogant pricks, are like, well, we only care about the consensus in our room. Yeah, but the point is, if Kalen Black is supposed to go 60 spots lower, that's two full rounds, you're spending more than you need to get the player. It's one thing to be right about a guy others have misjudged, which maybe they will be, although recent history with, the Niners and Lynch is the exact opposite. They've been reaching and reaching and missing for several years now. So just being right about a guy everyone else is wrong about is only half the equation. The other half is don't pay more for your reach than you have to. Wait a while.
And running backs are notoriously either first guy like Love, or then everyone else is kind of the same. And heck, Rowan Hemby wasn't even drafted. And I thought he and they were like co-equals at Indiana there. They were both 1,000-yard guys, former Terp, Rowan Hemby. But who knows? Maybe we don't want to lose them. We don't want to have someone else take them. And we're like, oh, we're going to kick ourselves. Like in fantasy, we can I wait one more round to draft this guy? And then, damn, someone else took him. I should have taken him earlier. So I guess it's the same thing in real-life football, because they wanted the guy and they got him. But they could have traded back, probably.
Alan Black is 25.
Really?
COVID year. NIL portal guys are coming in the draft. I mean, Carson Beck's 25.
Yeah.
Like they took
Carson Beck, I think, drew a really, really supportive tweet from you over the weekend, too, which made me very, very chuckling.
Every penny in my account, he's not a QB1 in this league.
And wow. People are
like, I'm QB1. I'm like, shut up, bitch. You know what I mean by QB1. QB1 means he's your starting quarterback by choice and not because you're thinking, well, maybe he can play. He's your starter for week one of a season, and you're choosing this. That's QB1.
Not somebody who just starts because no one else is available or 10 guys got hurt.
No. By the way, Kalen Black, 24 years old, doesn't catch passes, and was easily a day three pick, and they took him in the third round, 90th overall.
I mean, the quarterback variance here, like a lot of scouts and insiders had Nussmeier as the second quarterback taken in this draft. And there went Ty Simpson at 13th overall, and Nussmeier went 243rd or whatever he went. Unbelievable.
Yeah, seventh rounder to the
No
Chiefs.
One wanted him.
Like, he could be great.
I don't know what his downside is, or his upside's not very big or something, but I thought he was good in college. and there were four quarterbacks picked ahead of him whose name I've never heard of before yesterday, including
the guy named Ethan.
Ethan with a Greek Alex last Thomas. Name. Yes. I was like, who's that guy?
So Nussmeier, a year and a half ago, was considered a lottery pick. And he was going to lead Brian Kelly, your boy, Solly, to his best season ever at LSU.
Get off that scissors lift, Nussmeier. You're our starter. That's only for kids we don't care about. Okay.
And then this year, Nussmeier sucked so bad, he got Brian Kelly fired.
Huh?
So his plummet on the draft board, I would say, is not that surprising.
I guess, but... It looked pretty good to me. I don't know. I like Carson Beck, too. He won 50 games in college, something crazy like that.
He played 9 years.
I know. He played forever, like four at Georgia and one at...
He played in Georgia. He is more of a ride-along than anybody.
He led Miami to the national championship.
As a ride-led. Listen to you.
No, I'm not Carson Beck's agent here, but I didn't like the guy. I rooted against him every time Alabama played him in Georgia.
Always good to talk to the boys. Schedules do not permit our usual Thursday visit. I've got Church lined up for our Friday subscriber edition. I think he will be fantastic in a pinch hit situation. Glad that Solly, thank you, Solly and Scott, for letting me repurpose a small chunk of your podcast for the whole episode and for all of their episodes, not even ones including me. Please go to Patreon and look for the Lynn Murray Solly podcast and subscribe and support enthusiastically. Couple of positive stories, since maybe today was a bit too negative. You ready? Positive story number one. YouTube TV is officially launching fully customizable multi-view where you can bundle any four programs you want together. Thank God for that. Their CEO said, our YouTube teams made one of the most popular features even better. The new multi-view builder gives you full control to mix and match live streams, including add-ons like NFL Sunday Ticket, and build the personalized viewing experience you've been asking for. As somebody who pioneered the 5-hour Energy Dome with 1, 2, 3 TVs, which I said for many years, look, the TVs are not that expensive. If you are a man with a family and a wife and kids, look at all the shit you spend money on. Get a second and a third TV for $600 a piece. You'll be very happy you did. Now you don't even have to get those extra TVs. You just get one big enough TV, run YouTube TV on it, and it'll split up into a perfectly neat, no space wasted quad view with easy audio switching by just using the cursor to highlight the four screens and then punch into one, hit the back button to go back to the quad view. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you, YouTube TV. Now let's try to keep the price down, okay? It's been floating up quite a bit. Then there's this. A man in Kentucky was laughing so hard at a botched field goal attempt by Younghoe Koo that it triggered a seizure in him. Younghoe Koo sucked! The seizure from his laughing at poor Younghoe Koo's miss sent him to the hospital. While there, doctors discovered something shocking. A brain tumor the size of a tennis ball. Luckily, the tumor was removed and was deemed to be non-cancerous. The man believes the kick saved his life. Now, if there's anybody that should tip somebody else $30,000 to $300,000, it's that hillbilly tipping Younghoe Koo, who is just trying his best to make a field goal. This was the field goal where he completely whiffed, didn't even make the ball. He tripped over his feet. For the Giants. I'm looking at the still photo right now. I can see where you would start laughing uncontrollably. That's enough for me today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for Scott and Solly letting me repurpose part of their pod. Thank you for your understanding on my schedule challenges. I am back on again tomorrow on WJFK in Washington, D.C. with J.P. Finley, 10 to 2, filling in for Brian Mitchell. So if you tune in then, I think you'll enjoy the show. JP is a very now experienced and smooth operator, and it's nice to be able to ride in the shotgun seat, chuck beer cans out the window, and say yee-haw during our four-hour run. Thanks for listening. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time. You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game.